Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and also verse 5 and 6. This is the reading of God's Word. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. It is the only thing that clearly shows us your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. Oh Father, let us meet him in your word, and let us have fellowship with you even as we hear your word, even as we worship you. Oh Father, cause us to grow to the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ. And let us, by faith, witness Jesus Christ, no matter what we do and no matter where we are. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We began looking at Hebrews chapter 11, and today we will look at Enoch, and we'll also look next time Noah. Then we'll go to Abraham and one more person, Moses. Then we will go to Acts chapter 9, then after that, 2 Corinthians. I believe that in order for us to understand the 2 Corinthians, it is very important that we understand Hebrews chapter 11. What is faith? We saw last week that there is only one faith, not many different faiths. And faith makes the one who has it to do something. And when we look at the Bible, there are at least three things that it makes the one who has it to do. So I will just go over these things without explaining to you, because we did this last time. If you want to hear it again, CDs are available at the back table. And if you didn't hear it or you need to hear it again, please do so, because it is very, very important that you understand this. Faith makes the one who has it to acknowledge, approve, accept, and believe who God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who God is and what he has done and what he has accomplished. Faith makes you acknowledge, approve, accept, and believe the Bible. But that is not the only thing that faith will make you do. It also makes the one who has it to trust God. Entrust oneself to God. And the third thing that the faith makes us to do is what we find in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We have concluded last time that faith witnesses the reality of heaven. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we see this faith in action. This faith in action in the lives of God's people. And what God is not saying is that these people are extraordinary. These people are Christians. And Christians have faith. And the emphasis in chapter 11 is not to exalt these people. Because every time chapter 11 wants to say something about those people, it starts out by the phrase, by faith. So it's not so much that that person did all this, but that that person did this by faith. And faith is what God gives. And faith is what God gives to you. And if you have faith, you will do the same. Now, these people did not live like, you know, what we read about it here all the time, like Abraham. You know, only thing you read about him here is good things. The things he did really well. But if you read the book of Genesis, Abraham did sin many, many times. So, you know, don't compare you with what you read in Hebrews 11 and saying, no, I could never do this. No. You will do this because God gave you faith. That faith will make you do this. You must believe. And you must trust God. Well, we'll look at Enoch today. And we must go to Genesis. And from the very, very beginning, from Abel and Cain, we see that there are two kinds of people in this world. One belonging to God and the other belonging to Satan. One belonging to heaven and the other to this sinful world. These two kinds of people have their own respective cities. One, the city of God, the other, the city of man. Two different citizenships, one of heaven and the other of this world. And this is the will of God from the very beginning. God says to Satan in Genesis chapter 3, verse 12, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. Do you see it from Genesis 3? From the very beginning, God divides the whole human race into two groups and put enmity between them. And we see how God's word is through true throughout the history of mankind. This world will never be one. Never. Because that is not God's will. There will be always one group of people belonging to God and the other group of people belonging to Satan. That's just how it is and how it is going to be. God says, so. I will put enmity between these two. So our purpose is not to be one with the world. That is never our purpose as Christian. These two different kinds of people live in two different kingdoms, serving two different kings and observing two different sets of the laws. Two different purposes and two different methods of life. This is how it is. And these two cannot be the same. Abel, as he was killed by Cain, enjoyed the blessing of being the first one to go to God. Do you feel bad for Abel? How he died? How he was killed? I don't think Abel really minds. He was the first one to go to heaven. We have to stop thinking in terms of this world. See, you've been brainwashed by the world because most of you go to worldly schools. They brainwashed you to think in terms of this world, how this world thinks. You know, they point at Christians and say, you guys are brainwashed by your church. Really? I think they are the ones who are brainwashed by the teachings of the world. And God, after the death of Abel, continued the line of the citizens of heaven through Seth. He gave another son to Adam and Eve. And these two lines continue even today. And of course, it is no longer through physical genealogy. In the beginning, he shows these two lines, two different people, through physical genealogy, just like anything else in the Old Testament, is worldly. It's a type. But no longer. Yes, we still have two kinds of people, but it is not through physical genealogy. There are the citizens of God's kingdom and there are the citizens of this world. Jesus says in John chapter 18, verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. Period. He did not come here to establish worldly kingdom on earth. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. John 15. Those of you who stay with me for a long time, you probably heard this so many times, by now you memorized it. John 15 verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. Do you remember what God said from the very beginning? There will be enmity between these two. And he continues. These two kinds of people have two different fathers. John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus says to the unbelieving Jews, this is what he says. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. You know, non-Christians say, you know, we're not slave to anybody. Not even to God, not even to Satan. We're free. That is a lie. Whenever they sin, they're doing the desires of their father, the devil. They're not free. They're bondage in sin, in Satan. Let's go back to Genesis and see what happens to Cain and Seth as their offsprings. Let's go to chapter 4 of Genesis. Now, after Adam and Eve got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and if you remember, in what direction was Adam kicked out? Well, he went eastward. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, the direction eastward is going away from God. Direction westward is coming to God. That is why even the tabernacle, temple, when you see how they're built, the door or the door to tabernacle and temple, they're all at the east side. So if you go in, going west direction, you're going into the Holy of Holies. You're going towards God. But when you go outside, going eastward, you're going away from God. And this is also type, but this is consistent. If you go to Genesis 4, verse 16, this is what we see. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. So, you know the story. Cain killed Abel, so he's dead. So God gave Seth, and these two people now continue to have their children. And two lines continue. Now, in chapter 4, we learn about the line through Cain. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain had relationship with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch. But this Enoch in chapter 4 is not the Enoch that we're looking at in Hebrews chapter 11. In Genesis chapter 4 and 5, we see two Enochs. This is not the one we are interested in, but Cain's son was named Enoch. And what does it say? And he built a city and called the name of the city Enoch after the name of his son. Cain goes out from the presence of the Lord and settles in the world and builds a city. Cain and his offspring made their city more stronger and developed culture, science, and technology. To Cain, Enoch was born. To Enoch, Ired, and Ired, Mehujael. And to Mehujael, Methushael. And to Methushael, Lamech was born. And, you know, I have difficult time pronouncing these names, so bear with me. And Lamech goes against God's will by having two wives. Their names, Ada and Zillah. Ada and Zillah. And let's read this. Chapter 4, verse 19. Lamech took to himself two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. Ada gave birth to Jabal, and he was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. So he's the father of this domesticating cattle and these kind of stuff. Verse 21, his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all those who played the lyre and pipe. So they were into developing culture and music. Verse 22, as for Zillah, she also gave birth to Tubal Cain, and forger of all implements of bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal Cain was Naama. So they developed technology, skills. Thus, we see here the story of the city of man. Out of presence of the Lord, these men develops their city in this world. It culminates in these people who build the Tower of Babel. They say, come, let us build for ourselves a city, a tower whose top will reach the heaven, into heaven and let us make for ourselves a name. The beginning of humanism. You know, I used to hate this class in college. Humanism. Boasting about what humans have accomplished throughout the history. It's the victory of man. And they say, let us be free from God and free from His laws. And this is what we read in chapter 4. The line of Cain. These guys are mighty in the world. They are the successful businessmen. They develop technology and culture and science. What about Seth and his offspring? How does the Bible describe them and their lives? The line of Seth. Well, we continue reading. Chapter 4, verse 26. To Seth, to him also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. How does the Bible describe the line of Seth, the believers? They began to call upon the name of the Lord. In other words, they worshiped God. Isn't this interesting, brothers and sisters in this room? It is not that the only thing that these men did was worshiping God, but that is how the Bible describes their lives. Cain's line, Bible says they developed technology, culture, science. Seth's line, Bible says they worship God. You have to understand the Bible here. What is Bible trying to say to you? Worshiping God, that was their focus. That was their purpose. Again, it does not mean that believers at that time did not know how to use tools. No, they know. But the Bible's focus describing their lives, they worship God. This is how they are described. And this should be the focus of you, believers, worshiping God. You have to understand this. If your focus is not worshiping God, you're living a life that is really different from how the Bible describes the lives of the believers. We live Monday through Saturday preparing for this worship. Whatever that will hinder you from worshiping properly, you should stop. Make sure that you come here, not on time, but before worship time, and prepare yourself to worship. No, you prepare it from Monday. So whatever you might think, oh, I gotta do this like Saturday, whatever, you prepare it so that you will finish it way before, so that whatever you do will not hinder you from worshiping God and observing the Sabbath of Christian, the Lord's Day. This is what the life of Christians really mean. We cannot just say, I'm a Christian. unless your life fits the description of the Bible who is Christian. And of course, we're not talking about living the perfect life, but understand this is the focus of Christian, worshiping God. So it's so very hard to get up early Sunday, then sleep early Saturday. But I gotta do this, I gotta do that. Well, do them on Friday, so that it will not hinder you worshiping God. Look at what Bible, how Bible describes the people of God. You don't find all this other stuff, man. It just says they worship God. Please, brothers and sisters, understand what your life is all about. You know, I'm not against you being successful in this world or going to good college, but those are secondary. Your major purpose, the chief purpose, is worshiping your God. That's what set us apart from the world. Yeah, again, you know, God says to, I want to read this to you. I know I'm going off the tangent, but please, go to Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 17, it says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. You know, if a person is doing, you know, the job of elder or pastor, and if he is doing it according to the world, then we live as if... you know, what happens to you spiritually is my responsibility. And he says, second half of that verse, and this is what I want you to focus. Let them do this with joy and not with grief. For this would be unprofitable for you. It says, obey leaders of the church, and let them do their work with joy, not with grief. Otherwise, you're not going to profit from it. Yeah, when I look at that clock, 9:55, and I only see two faces here, I get sad. It affects me, even leading this worship. It does affect me. It affects me. When I don't see your face, I wonder, oh, what's going on? And it affects me. And I'm not happy. And no, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying you come here to please me. But let me do this with joy. You help me that I may do this with joy so that we'll all benefit. Because our life is all about worshiping God. That is the main purpose of our lives. And let's take this worship very seriously. Please. Now, the Bible contrasts the descendants of Cain and the descendants of Seth. From Adam through Cain, the seventh is Lamech. And from Adam through Seth, the seventh is Enoch, who we meet in Hebrews 11. We could see from Lamech that even though the world culture and science and technology were advancing, the sinners fell deeper and deeper into sin. Advancement of the science and technology could not save them from their corruption. And this is what we read about Lamech, chapter 4, verse 23 of Genesis. Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, listen to my voice, your wives, you wives of Lamech. Give heed to my speech, for I have killed a man for wounding me, and a boy for striking me. If Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. He's bragging that he killed a man, killed even a boy for striking him. Not only that, he says, if Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. It was God who said, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. Lamech here boasts that he is above God. Now let us see then how Enoch lives his life, the seventh from Seth line. We learn about him in Genesis 5. Let us go there, Genesis 5. And I don't have time to read the whole thing, whole chapter, but when you go home, please read the whole chapter. But let me read a few verses to you. This is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and he blessed them, and the named them man in the day when they were created. And starting from verse 3, we see the same pattern repeating itself. When Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. Then the day of Adam, after he became the father of Seth, were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the day that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years and became the father of Enosh. Then Seth lived 807 years after he became the father of Enosh, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Well, we see the genealogy from Adam to Noah in the line of Seth. And we see the pattern. Pattern is that so-and-so lived so many years and became the father of so-and-so. And then he lived so many years. And after that, he had other sons and daughters. And so-and-so lived so many years and he died. This is the pattern. What we read consistently in Genesis 5 is that these people have died. Adam died, Seth, Enosh, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Methuselah, and Lamech, who is different person than Lamech of Genesis 4. It's confusing, you know, these people have same names. All died. Descendants of Seth are also sinners. God has told Adam when he sins, he will surely die. And we see God's word being fulfilled. All died. Nothing more to be said. We die. We have no hope. And is this what the Bible is telling us? No. The Bible is about the gospel, the good news. We must remember the promise of God, the promise of the seed of woman who will crush Satan's head. In Genesis 5, God preaches the gospel in the world of death. God gives the hope of life in the world of death. In the midst of he died, he died, he died, God shows us life. God shows us Enoch. The reality of God bringing the eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is seen in the life of Enoch. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You remember the pattern? And he was, you know, person after person, the same pattern. And all of a sudden, when it comes to Enoch, it's different. We don't read about Enoch dying. And Methuselah, who comes after Enoch, it goes back to the same pattern. And he died. Enoch does not taste death. He is taken to heaven, for he walked with God. He walked with God. What does this mean? It does not mean that he obeyed God's law perfectly. Obviously not. No one after Adam's sin is able to do that. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, the verse that we read today says, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Walking with God. You know, in Genesis 5, it says, he walked with God, so God took him. Hebrews chapter 11, it says, he was pleasing God, so God took him. So, what we have here is walking with God of Genesis 5 is interpreted by the author of Hebrews 11 as Enoch pleased God. He was taken up to heaven because he was pleasing to God. And verse 6 of Hebrews 11 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So we put all this thing together. Walking with God is pleasing God, but pleasing God is living by faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. The righteous will live by faith. So walking with God is equal to living by faith. Thus Enoch lived by faith. He witnessed the reality of heaven. He lived a life that was pleasing to God, a life of faith. He believed the promise of God that the seed of woman would come and save his people from this sinful world and transfer his people to the kingdom of his beloved Son, God's eternal world. In the midst of the world of death, Enoch witnessed the reality of life in the coming Messiah. The eternal life of heaven. Enoch possesses the eternal life even before he was taken to heaven. He experienced Immanuel, God, throughout his life. He walked with God. He loved God and fellowshiped with God. He beheld the glory of God by faith, and he also beheld himself in that glory. He lived the life of heaven, even here on earth. He witnessed the reality of heaven throughout his life. And through his life, he witnessed the reality of heaven. He lived by faith. He was received into the eternal glory. And for Enoch to be received into the glory is so natural to him, for he already lived the life of that glory here on earth. He walked with God, and God walked with him. And even now, God and Enoch are walking together in heaven. In heaven right now, Enoch and Jesus, they walk together. And Enoch witnessed that reality, the reality of heaven, even when he lived here on earth. By living by faith, he walked with God, even here on earth. Do you see what we mean by witnessing the reality of heaven? Whatever is true of heaven, you show it as you live here. By faith, you witness the reality, what is true of you in heaven. Of course, the world will not acknowledge it. They're not going to see and say, oh, I see heaven. No, they're not going to do that. But that is exactly what you're doing. By living by faith, you witness the reality of heaven. You know, brothers and sisters, loving you is not an option. It's not about whether I, you know, like you or not like you, or I want to like you or not want to like you. That is not what it's about. What it's about is, what did Jesus do? What did he accomplish? He accomplished the eternal reality of me loving you forever in heaven. That's what he accomplished. And I believe it. And if that is what I believe, loving you is not an option. This is my reality forever. If you are a son of God, then I will love you forever in heaven. Whether I like you or not right now, that does not really matter. Man, people act like they have an option. It's something that they, if they want to do, they do, and if they don't, then they don't. No. You have to understand the gospel. Do you believe that Jesus already accomplished that heavenly reality or not? If you believe, then you know that that life has already begun in you. And you must live that life because you believe that that is your life already. Otherwise, you're just denying everything that Jesus has accomplished. You're denying everything you say you believe. How can we live like that? Do you see it? Even now, Enoch and God walk together. And when he lived here on earth, he witnessed that reality already here on earth by walking with God, living by faith. John chapter 1 verse 14, and the Word became flesh. Jesus became man and dwelt among us, walked among us. And we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Because Jesus, our Lord, came as a man and died for our sins and lived that perfect life for us, because He was resurrected from the dead for our justification, because He came and dwelt or walked among us, we are now able to walk with God. We believe Jesus Christ and His eternal kingdom, heaven. We live by faith, thus we please God. We walk with God. We live by faith. But that means we're walking with God, because we are pleasing to God because we live by faith. Do you understand that walking with God is your present reality in Jesus Christ? You need to realize this. You have to understand what your life is all about, what is really happening in your life. We live by faith, thus we please God, we walk with God. His joy is our joy, and His life is our life. He is our joy, and we are His joy. Amos chapter 3, verse 3, King James Version says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Can two have fellowship and walk together except that they are in agreement? Yes, God's will is our will. We agree. His desire is our desire. We walk together. What do we see as we see Enoch taken into heaven? It is the witness of the reality of heaven. Go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 16. It says, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we shall always be with the Lord." Do you see your reality? When Jesus returns, you and I will be caught up to heaven and be with our Lord. We too will be taken up to heaven and live with Christ forever and ever. But, brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us that spiritually we are already taken up to heaven where Jesus is. Do you see it? Spiritually, the life of Enoch being taken up to heaven is your life presently. It's your reality. Colossians, let me prove it to you from reading from the Bible. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. "For He rescued us," past tense, "He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred," past tense, "us to the kingdom of His beloved Son." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, "Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together." It already happened. "Made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with Him and seated," again past tense, "us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says that our citizenship is in heaven. Already you have the citizenship of heaven. And Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that place where we have arrived, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels. In Jesus Christ, like Enoch, we have been taken up to heaven spiritually already. We are now the citizens of heaven. Spiritually, we have already been resurrected from the dead and live with Christ now and forever. Like Enoch, we are the possessors of Christ and His kingdom. Yes, we will die physically, but through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, like Enoch, we will not taste the eternal death. We already live the taken up life of heaven here on earth. In fact, according to Hebrews chapter 12, even at this moment, even as we worship God, we are together with Enoch in heaven worshiping God together. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you by faith see yourself in heaven walking with your Lord Jesus Christ? Do you by faith see yourself fellowshipping with God in heaven right now? Do you, by faith, see yourself already taken up to heaven spiritually? Do you, by faith, see yourself in the glory of God? Do you, by faith, see the heavenly reality that is already true of you? Faith that God gave you will enable you to see all this. This is our present spiritual heavenly reality. You must trust God. You must believe what God says. That's why we are called believers, because we believe. That's why people who don't believe, they're non-believers. They're not Christians. And we're not begging non-Christians to believe. No. But I believe I'm talking to Christians, believers. Believe. We must live our lives in the light of heavenly reality. Yes, we all die physically, but because of what Jesus has done for us, we now say, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Death has been conquered by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, see the reality of heaven that is true of you already. You are walking with God. Every single moment of your life, you are walking with God. Whether you believe or not, or whether you realize it or not, whether you are aware of or not, if you're a Christian, you are walking with God every single moment of your life. That is your eternal reality that Jesus has already accomplished for you. You must believe. You must be aware. You must realize it. Brothers and sisters, we're very happy people. Let us realize how we are walking with God every single minute of our lives. You are walking with Jesus, and that eternal life of heaven has already begun in you. Be joyous, brothers and sisters. Let us live by faith, witnessing the reality of heaven, walking with our Lord now and forever. We live by faith. So as you live by faith, Just like Enoch, you witness to the world that you are already taken up into heaven. Even as you worship right now, that is what you're doing. You're showing the whole world that you have been taken up to heaven, and we are meeting in heaven to worship our God. Oh yeah, world will not acknowledge that. They're not going to say, yeah, I see it. No. But that is exactly what we're doing by faith. Life of Enoch is a type of the life that Jesus has already accomplished for you. This is your life. This is your story. This is what has been accomplished. Rejoice and let us live by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Just amazing grace. But Father, we pray that you would touch every heart, of the people who are gathered here. If you just leave us alone, then we'll never get it. We will never be able to realize what has happened to us. What is the true reality of heaven that is already accomplished for us? The reality that is already enjoyed by your people. Bless us, God. Let our faith grow so that we may witness the reality of heaven as we live by faith. Let us have our focus on Jesus Christ and His kingdom as we live our lives here on earth. Let us not live like the non-believers, having the same purpose and same goal as non-believers. But let us realize and believe how we have been saved out of this world. Now we have different purpose, different goal. We worship our God now and forever. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.